जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बदाभागिरिवृधाधि गोपी जन बदाभागिरिवृधाधि जसोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना जसोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना जामुना तीरा भना चाधी जामुना तेरा भना चाधी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जसोर नंदना ब्रज जन जसोद नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना जामुना तीरा भना चाधी जामुना तीरा भना चाधी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी माधव कुंज बिहारी जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य अष्टतरस्त श्री श्रीमारिस डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय This morning we're going to discuss two verses from Canto 10, Chapter 27, Texts 10 and 11. Indra's, and then we're going to hear also Surabhi's prayers. To Krishna. And just a little preamble to what we're going to be discussing. Two things. If somebody in this listening audience, whoever's out there, knows or can find some references that speak to the fact that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the form of Krishna. Of course, there's the Padma Purana reference, but others. Or something that Rupa Goswami, I read, and I can't remember where I read it, so if you know where it is or can find it out there in the listening audience, Rupa Goswami speaks something about the sound vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam is precisely Krishna's form. So not the Padma Purana reference or the Bhaktisiddhanta reference that says Srimad Bhagavatam is the Swarup Shakti of Nama, and they go together, just like Radha worship goes together with Radha Krishna worship goes. We don't worship Krishna alone. So the chanting of the holy name is meant to be accompanied by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam or topics of Krishna. So just some appreciation that this time spent just in the morning and the evening hearing Govardhan Leela, hearing Brahma Vimohan Leela, going to Vrindavan through sound. I mean, it sounds nice. And being absorbed in speaking it or hearing it, I'm sure the affinity for Krishna in Vrindavan, something like that has happened for each of us. So that's just sharing some appreciation. I really feel the Krishna connection stronger just from hearing and discussing Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto. Of course, all the preceding cantos are meant to prepare us to hear the 10th canto, and sprinkled here and there in the previous cantos are mentions of Krishna's unique position in Vrindavan. That's Srimad Bhagavatam. It's preparing us for being with Krishna in Vrindavan eternally through sound. It's really merciful. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is not different than the form of Krishna. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, we're associating with the form of Krishna. Although, what's our qualification to associate with the form of Krishna? But it cleanses that Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for even the sinful people. What's the qualification of sinful people to associate with the form of Krishna? It's just mercy. It's not, there's no qualification. But Srimad Bhagavatam is merciful, and it gives the opportunity even to sinful people to associate with the form of Krishna and become freed from sins and become purified and become attracted to the personality of Godhead instead of, you know, being the enjoyer of things temporary and all of that. It's just that potency is there. And keep going. And I'm feeling very fortunate, just become more appreciative and more attracted and attached to Srimad Bhagavatam and revealing Krishna in Vrindavan and attracting our hearts and minds to him, exactly as we've been hearing, the purpose of Krishna's appearance is for that reason. And the second point is, there's been some discussion, there was some discussion yesterday during the midday session and then again in the evening session about the Paribhasa Sutra 1.3.28. And those that will be attending next Sunday's program, those, whoever is on the receiving the list of being invited to those classes will receive a document that explains it, Paribhasa Sutra, which is, of all the different forms of the Lord, one is the source of them all. And that one is Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. That means, specifically, Krishna in Vrindavan. And there's abundant commentary on that verse because it's so important. It's the principal verse of the whole Bhagavatam upon which the other 17,999 verses rest. Or the other ones are expanding on that one. Krishna is the source of everything. The original form of Krishna in Vrindavan is the source of everything. And what we're hearing in these verses of what we've been doing in the morning and evening is just expanding on that in wonderful detail. And so everything means everything. We'll say it negatively. There isn't anything that doesn't come from Krishna. Or say it positively. Everything comes from Krishna. So whatever you can think of, or whatever exists, whatever you can't think of, that also comes from Krishna. Everything comes from Krishna. This form that Indra is standing before, pouring out his heart, apologizing profusely, asking for forgiveness. I mean, specifically he's saying, please don't punish me. But his punishment has already been given, and that is you're becoming humiliated and so forth. And, you know, and the other devatas who look up to Indra are now understanding Indra needs to look up to Krishna. So they're not like judging him, but they're, you know, whatever they have had as misguided understandings, that's gone. So he's small again, which is good. You know, freed from pride, at least temporarily, or pretty much. So now in these two verses, the same Krishna is the original personality of Godhead is being expressed in the form of what we know in, you know, the Hare Krishna movement as Sambandha Gyan. Sambandha Gyan means the relationship of all things with Krishna. So there's different names of he who is the source of everything, or he who is almighty and all-powerful and so forth and so on. Like, you know, God is almighty. I learned that growing up when I was a little kid. God is almighty. But how almighty is he? What is his almightiness? Well, I don't know. It's just he's almighty. Lord God Almighty. So we're hearing, and hearing some of the names, this section, 10 and 11, are names of Krishna, are features of Krishna, of which he is the source of everything. So here we go. This is Indra, learned Indra, saying, text 10, Obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Great Soul, with a capital S, who is all-pervading and who resides in the hearts of all. My obeisances unto you, Krishna, the chief of the Yadu dynasty. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. There's no BBT commentary. Here's Vishwanath. Quote, therefore, let me just surrender unto your lotus feet and offer you respects. This is expressed in two verses. Uddhava says, quote, Krishna, the original Lord, the Lord of matter and spirit, appears in this world in different avatars as portions of Mahavishnu, who are also his part, who is also his part. This is an explanation, an expansion of Krishna. Swami Bhagavan Krishna is the original source of everything. So from Krishna comes Mahavishnu, and from Mahavishnu comes avatars. And Krishna is the source of Mahavishnu and the avatars. That's what this verse is saying, or Uddhava is saying. Therefore, Indra in this verse pays respects to all the Angsa forms. What does Angsa mean? Expansions or parts? Parts. Mami Vangsa Jivaloke. So, in that case, it's Jivas, but even the Vishnu Tattva forms, they're his Angsas. And then there's another term, Kala. That's a plenary portion and portions of the plenary portions. You know, Bhaktisiddhanta's language. But they're all from him. His parts, his Vishnu expansions. This verse pays respects to all the Angsa forms, which are within Krishna when he appears on earth. Quote, I pay my respects to the Lord of Mahavaikuntha, Narayana. So we discussed this a little bit yesterday in a home program. We're used to hearing Vaikuntha. And then there's this other terminology, Mahavaikuntha, and it's used in different ways by different personalities. Mahavaikuntha, in this case, Mahavaikuntha is Vaikuntha, just a nice adjective adding to Vaikuntha. It's great. Vaikuntha is great. There's other ways in which Mahavaikuntha is used, where it refers to some personalities who are worshippers of Ram, speak with scriptural reference that Mahavaikuntha refers to Ayodhya. Because there's Vaikuntha and then there's Mahavaikuntha. It's above, it's in the utmost region of all the Vaikunthas. And other places, it specifically speaks of Goloka as Mahavaikuntha. Okay, anyway. I pay my respects to Mahavishnu, who is the creator of Mahatattva. I pay my respects to the soul of the Samasti. Samasti means the totality of living beings. I pay my respects to the soul of the Samasti, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, unquote. After paying respects to the Angsas, he pays respect to the Angsi, the source of the Angsas. Quote, I offer my respects to Vasudeva. Krishna's name is Vasudeva, son of Vasudeva. With a mention of his father. I offer my respects to Krishna, the Lord of the Sattvatas. What's the Sattvatas? That's devotees. Huh? Devotees. That's how it's being used here. With mention of the name of his followers. So the Sattvatas, the followers of Krishna are Sattvatas. those are situated in Sat, eternal, the consciousness of their eternal identity. Jiva Goswami's commentary, I offer respects to he who is directly the Supreme Lord, who attracts all hearts by revealing unlimited powers. Sounds like Bhagavan, right? Krishnaya. After describing the external powers, he speaks of the internal powers. I offer my respects to the Purusha in the heart, full of power, who dwells in all beings. Vasudevaya. Another name of Krishna, who is the indwelling Lord. I offer respects to he who became the Lord of the Sattvatas for pastimes. So for the devotees, the Sattvatas, he does wonderful pastimes to delight them, attract their hearts. Even though you give auspiciousness to the devotees in all your avatars, now you are very special. I offer respects to he who attracts all hearts, who is Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, full of all powers, since in this form you display your unlimited goals. Purushaya. Purusha means the enjoyer, so he's enjoying his pastimes with his own potencies and his devotees. You have continuous glory, Mahatmane, and as Krishna, specifically, you are the son of Vasudev and the protector of all the Yadus. And Sanatana Goswami, similarly, just taking these names, kind of like Vishnu Sahasranam, but giving the Bhagavat commentary behind it. I offer respects to he who is directly the Supreme Lord, Bhagavate, who attracts all hearts by revealing unlimited powers, Krishnaya. After describing the external powers, he speaks of the internal powers. I offer respects to the Purusha of the heart, full of power, Mahatmane, and who dwells in all beings, Vasudevaya. I offer respects to he who became the Lord of the Sattvatas for pastimes. Even though you give auspiciousness to the devotees in all your avatars, now you are very special. I offer my respects to he who attracts all hearts, Swayam Bhagavan, full of all powers, since in this form you display your unlimited goals, Purushaya, similar to what others have said. You have continuous glory, Mahatmane, and as Krishna, you are specifically the son of Vasudev and the protector of the Yadus. So this is Indra. Now he's, in one sense, he's displaying his erudition. He knows a lot. And somehow all that he knows got covered over by you know what? Pride. So now that his pride has been by Krishna's kindness taken away, he's back into his understanding, and he's just, his request has already been made. Please, please go light with your punishment. And now it's just glorification. These are the Sambandhagyan kind of glorifications. Text 11, and there's a lot of commentary in relation to this. So get ready. Indra prays, unto him who assumes transcendental bodies according to the desires of his devotees, unto him whose form is itself pure consciousness, unto him who is everything, who is the seed of everything, and who is the soul of all creatures, I offer my obeisances. And this is a Hridayananda type of purport here. We can hardly construe from the first line of the verse that God is somehow impersonal, but assumes a personal material body, because that's Mayavada doctrine. It is clearly said here that the Lord assumes different forms according to sva chanda, his own desire, or according to the desires of his devotees. An impersonal God could hardly reciprocate with the personal desires of its devotees, nor could an impersonal God itself have desires, since desires is characteristic of personality. Therefore, the Lord's manifesting different forms in a personal way, responding to personal desires, indicates that he is eternally a person and manifests his different transcendental bodies as an expression of his eternal nature. That's loving and reciprocating. And this next phrase becomes a topic of commentary for all the commentators. The word Vishuddha Jnana Murtaye is most significant. Murti means the form of the deity. And it is specifically stated here that the Lord's form is itself completely pure consciousness. Consciousness is the primary spiritual element, distinct from any of the material elements, and even distinct from the subtle or psychological material elements, like the subtle ones are mundane mind, intelligence, and false ego. Subtle body. Consciousness is distinct from them. All of these, which are simply a psychic covering over pure consciousness. Since the Lord's form is made of pure consciousness, it can hardly be understood that as a material body, like mortal bags of flesh and bones, we carry around in this world. And final paragraph. In the last line of this verse, there is a poetic emphasis on the word sarva, which means everything. The Lord is everything. He is the seed of everything. He is the soul of every creature. Therefore, let us join with Indra in offering our obeisances to the Lord. Very nice purport. Vishwanath's commentary is short. Quote, I pay respects to you who accept bodies for giving happiness to your devotees with emotions of dasya, sakya, vatsalya, and shringara, since you are the object of various types of prema. Being non-material, that body is pure, a form of knowledge beyond maya. As you are the possessor of all energies, such as maya, you are everything. Therefore, you are the cause of all sarva bija. And therefore, you are the soul of all entities. I pay respects to you. End. Jiva Goswami is also short. Therefore, you are everything. I offer respects to you who have accepted many bodies like Matsya and Kurma by your free will because of the devotees. You reveal those avatars to give knowledge of the nature of your form. What's that? You have forms which are knowledge itself beyond maya. Here's the phrase again. Vishuddha Jnana Murtaye. Since they are self-revealing, you are the form of the universe, the Mahapurusha, who is the cause of all things, Sarva Bijaya, and the Antaryami, that's Supersoul, of all beings, Sarva Bhutatmane. A little bit longer in Sanatana Goswami's commentary. I offer respects to you who are hardness, Murtaye, for persons absorbed in understanding Atma, whose jnana is devoid of bhakti or vishuddha, Though the Lord is both cause and effect, sarvasmayi, he is an object hard to approach for those dedicated to pure Atma alone. I offer my respect to him, since he has an astonishing nature and is full of extraordinary greatness. I offer my obeisances unto he who reveals a form, Murtaye, to those having knowledge of the Lord, Vishuddha Jnana, who is the source of the all sadhanas and sadhyas. We're used to sadhana, so we know what that is. And sadhyas, those are who have achieved perfection. It's the stage of perfection. It's the goal of sadhana, sadhya. So it says, I offer my obeisances unto he who is the source of all sadhanas and sadhyas, or bhakti and prema, who is complete, sarvasmayi, who is dear to all beings, and who spreads bhakti to all beings, sarva bhutatmane. Therefore, final paragraph, you are everything. I offer my respects to you who have accepted many bodies like Matsya and Kurma by your free will because of the devotees. You reveal those avatars to give knowledge of the nature of your form. You have forms which are knowledge itself beyond Maya. Here's the phrase again, Vishuddha Jnana Murtaye. You are knowledge itself beyond Maya. Vishuddha Jnana Murtaye. Since they, these forms, the angsas, his Vishnu Tattva appearances, they are self-revealing. You are the form of the universe, sarvasmayi, the Mahapurusha, who is the cause of all things, sarva bijaya, and the antaryami of all beings, sarva bhutatmane. Now, next, and it's 8:04 already, there's this verse is an important verse. These two verses are important because there's lots of references from other verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam that refer to this verse. So we're going to hear some of that. This is a reference from 1:3:15. So next Sunday we're going to be discussing chapter 3 of Canto 1. Here's one of those verses in Canto 1, chapter 3, speaks about forms of the Lord that appear in this world. So it's a listing and some description of avatars. So 1:3:15. O Vajra, the great Lord, in the form of water, greatly agitated with countless waves, covers the earth and the lower planets with water. Partial devastation. O Yadava, all things on the earth planet are destroyed at that time. Only the famous mountains are not destroyed. That's the Bhumandala mountains, the big ones, like Sumeru and others. At that time, the earth personified, taking the form of a boat, protects all the seeds without discrimination. O offspring of the Yadu family. Paragraph. This explains that there is destruction at the end of the Manvantara. Manvantara means the period of manu. At the end of every manu, there's a partial devastation. At the end of the night, the end of the day of Brahma, during his night, there's another partial devastation. And then there's a total annihilation at the end of his life. Three. And the description sounds a lot like Noah's Ark in the Bible, the Old Testament. So in Lagu Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami also states that there's a devastation by water after every manvantar. In his comments on some verses of Harivamsa as well, he says the same. The verse mentions the Chakshusha manvantar because Satyavrata was a great devotee of Matsya, and Matsya was attracted to his devotee. Matsya appeared at that time. The following verse illustrates how the Lord is controlled by the devotee, and it refers to this one, 10:27:11. Translated here, unto him who assumes transcendental bodies according to the desires of his devotees, unto him whose form is itself pure consciousness, unto him who is everything and who is the seed of everything and who is the soul of all creation, I offer my obeisances. Therefore, this is Jiva Goswami's commentary in 1.3.15, this particular narration, 1.3.15, is representative of events that take place after every manvantar. Here's Jiva Goswami's Krama Sandarbha. And I, you know, no harm to say once again. Krama Sandarbha is one of Jiva Goswami's three commentaries on the Bhagavatam. He loved the Bhagavatam. So Krama Sandarbha is a verse by verse, or most of the verses of the entire Bhagavatam, like Prabhupada did, that same type. So he's commenting on this verse. I offer respects to you who have accepted many bodies like Matsya and Kurma because of following the desires of the devotees, Sva, Chanda. You are brought close to them and manifest your body to them. And here is Jiva Goswami's Bhagavat Sandarbha. What's the Bhagavat Sandarbha? It's one of his six Sandarbhas that speaks specifically about the feature of Bhagavan. First he speaks of the feature of Paramatma, then he speaks of the feature of Bhagavan. So in that Bhagavat Sandarbha, he writes, this is Anuchet 57, the Angsas of the Lord, again, the Angsas are his Vishnu expansions, or Vishnu Tattva expansions. The Angsas of the Lord share the same quality. He quotes the Sanskrit from 10:13:54. We discussed at length 10:13 and 10:14. 13 is the stealing of the calves and cowherd boys, and what Brahma saw. So here's what he saw. The forms, this is Narayan forms that he saw, all had eternal, unlimited forms, full of knowledge and bliss, which were one form. Their great glory could not even be touched by the Atma Gyanis. The commentary says, quote, all forms are described with form. They were forms of truth and knowledge, forms without limit, forms of bliss. They were without distinction from each other. Eka Matra. They were always one form. Eka Rasa. They were the form of Brahman, Murtayaha, with truth, knowledge, and infinity and bliss as one unit. Their glory could not be touched by those who have eyes of Atmagyan. He puts in parentheses, Upanishad Drisham. Drisha means to see. So these forms became visible. So he's continuing to explain that 13th chapter, 10th canto verse. The word matra, only, indicates their color and other attributes had spiritual nature of the Lord Swarup. The word murtaya, or forms, does not refer to the pure Atma, according to Sridhar Swami and Shukadev, since it is difficult to derive that meaning by using indirect interpretation, lakshana, and it, well, there's some other Sanskrit rules. That meaning would also contradict the context of the verse. So now he gives other scriptural references. 3:15:38. The sages, translation of a third canto verse, the sages saw the Lord surrounded by devotees carrying objects to offer him. He was previously the object of their meditation, but now appeared directly before their eyes. That meaning would be contrary to Shukadev's heart, which is 12th canto, where Shukadev says, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the son of Vyasadev, Shukadev Goswami, this is Sutta, who destroys all sin, and who, though fixed in his own bliss, with no distractions, became attracted to the pastimes of Krishna, and mercifully spread the Bhagavatam, which describes Krishna and reveals the rasa of his pastimes. This is close to the conclusion of the whole 12th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. 10th canto, chapter 37. Let me surrender to you, Bhagavan. You are the condensed form of pure knowledge, and by you are bliss itself. You have forms with many qualities. Your desires are always fulfilled. Because of your Sarup Shakti, you are never touched by the material gunas. And then this verse is referenced in Bhagavad Sandarbha. Unto him who assumes bodies according to the desires of his devotees, unto him whose form is pure consciousness, unto him who is the universe, who is Mahavishnu, and the Antaryami, I offer my obeisances. And then finally, he makes reference to what we just concluded. Canto 10, chapter 14, that's Brahma's prayers. Therefore, this entire universe, which, like a dream, is by nature unreal, nevertheless appears real. And thus it covers one's consciousness and assails one with repeated miseries. This universe appears real because it is manifested from the potency of illusion emanating from you, whose unlimited form is full of eternal happiness and knowledge. And there's another Bhagavad Sandarbha reference. This is Jiva Goswami. So he's explaining Krishna, not Krishna's position yet, but just the Bhagavan feature of the Supreme. So this is quoting Canto 11, Chapter 16. That's Uddhava Gita. The Lord says to Uddhava that he is also a vibhuti of the Lord. Vasudevo Bhagavatam. Among those entitled to the name Bhagavan, I am Vasudeva. At the end of that section, he says, Mano Vikara Evaite. These vibhutis are all transformations of the mind. This is 11th canto, chapter 16. So now he's explaining the Bhagavan feature. That is true. He is included among the vibhutis only because, as a general statement of a group, just as when one says, the umbrella carriers go, includes the person who are not carrying umbrellas also. He also says this in the same chapter, chapter 16 of Canto 11. I am form, taste, aroma, touch, and sound, ahankara, the mahatattva, earth, water, fire, air, and sky, the 11 senses, the living entity, prakriti, the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, and Brahman. I am all these items, along with knowledge of them and the determination of truth resulting from that knowledge. Paragraph. The word param indicates Brahman. That is included in the material elements. Thus, the Lord has nothing to attain. That is, he does not become a vibhuti. Now, chapter 10 is vibhuti yoga, is the opulences. That's what vibhutis are. It's described in Canto 1, chapter 3, what vibhutis are. It's forms of Krishna, but it's a material greatness within this material world. Like, you know, mountains, I'm the Himalayas, etc. Among fishes, I am shark. Among this, I am that. The word, yeah, transformation, so he doesn't become something. The word transformation, vikriti, takes place by removing a covering of on an object, like threshing rice to remove the husk. Clear? Threshing rice means removing the husk, and you have, what do you have left? You have the grain. So threshing is a vikriti, it's a transformation. Rice covered by grain now is no longer covered by grain, by the covering, it's just the grain. The Lord does not need this, since he is not associating with any covering. He is free from coverings. Mukta upaditaha vishuddha jnana murtaye. He is a form of pure consciousness. That's our verse. Vishuddha jnana ghanam, your pure condensed knowledge. Again, Canto 10, chapter 37. Another reference, this is Bhishma Dev, Canto 1, chapter 9. His armor shone brightly, pierced slightly by my sharp arrows, Bhishma Dev says about Krishna. Such statements are descriptions of pastimes involving illusions, since they involve contrary elements. And then another reference from Canto 10. Such, this is a translation of a verse. Such is the account given by some sages, O wise king, but those who speak in this illogical way are contradicting themselves, having forgotten their own previous statements. So all this is to say, it's expanding on the idea that Krishna's form is all spiritual, there's no material covering, and his forms, they're also all spiritual, because they come from Krishna, who's all spiritual. And then comes this mysterious thing, how does Maya come from him? It's one of his potencies, everything that exists comes from him. So it's one of his potencies, and he can cover living entities, and he can remove the covering. And I think this is our last reference. Yeah, our last reference. It's again Bhagavad Sandarbha. Jiva Goswami makes reference to this morning's verse, Anuchet 55. That the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is spiritual, eternal, and full of bliss and knowledge, and not simply an illusory representation of an impersonal reality, is also confirmed by the following statement of Srimad Bhagavatam. Statements. So again, he makes references from Canto 10, including this morning's verse. Also chapter 37, the form of the Supreme Lord is full of supremely pure transcendental knowledge. So it's what we can understand from that is Mayavad doctrine has just got shot down. His form is not a covering. His form is pure transcendental knowledge. And then this verse, then another, chapter 14, we also discussed this, chapter 14, Brahma's prayers, where he says, O Lord, your transcendental form is eternal and full of bliss and knowledge. These statements of the Bhagavatam should be taken literally. No one should try to change their meaning by word jugglery and try to make them mean something other than what they clearly say. That the form of the personality of Godhead is full of transcendental bliss is also confirmed in the following statements of the Bhagavatam. Just two references and we're done. Canto 10, chapter 41. What the ladies of Mathura saw when they saw the blissful forms of Krishna and Balaram with their eyes, they took them within their hearts and began to embrace them to their fullest desire. And then text 48, now he's in Mathura. Kubja then took Krishna's lotus feet and placed them on her breasts, which were burning with the blazing fire of lust. By smelling the fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet, she immediately became relieved of all lusty desires. She was thus allowed to embrace Krishna, whose transcendental form is full of bliss. She was allowed to embrace Krishna with her two arms and thus mitigate her long-cherished desire to have Krishna as a visitor in her house. A little esoteric, but his form is Satchitananda, and it's not material, so we don't make that mistake. Okay, that's the end of the reading this morning. It's 8:24. A little bit long, but you're patiently listening, so that's nice. No class this morning? Huh?
Tuesday, Thursday.
Tuesday, Thursday, okay. So we're getting here several things. We're getting a picture of the form of Krishna as transcendental, and we're getting, like, you know, a deep dive into that topic by the grace of Shukadeva Goswami and our great acharyas. And we're getting this nice picture that Krishna assumes forms according to the desire of his devotees. And that just has to do with Krishna's nature. So, some Krishna bhaktas in the Hare Krishna movement, and, you know, outside the Hare Krishna movement, they have an attraction for the form of Lord Nrisimhadeva or Lord Ramachandra or other forms of the Lord. And the Lord assumes those forms. Here's a little ISKCON Mayapur story. Then I'll just end with that. some years ago, there was an attack on Mayapur by some of the local people. They saw on the altar that, you know, the altar was not as elevated and receded like it is today. It was lower and more approachable. They saw the form of brass Radha Madhava, and they thought that Radha Madhava, particularly Radharani, looked golden. They thought, gold. So in the middle of the night, they came and stole Radha Madhava. And there was, you know, a big ruckus, because somehow some devotees woke up and there was firing of guns, and that's how Bhakti Raghava Maharaj lost half of his legs, because he got shot with a shotgun and half of his leg had to have it amputated. And so there was this discussion about what are we going to do, because, you know, we're in the middle of a village and people play mean. So there was discussion. Bhaktisiddhanta, when something similar happened at his headquarters, he had a deity of Nrisimha installed. So it was decided we should install a deity of Nrisimha to protect the Dham. And then there was discussion about where, and then it was found that there was this special superlative. So Jnanivas and some others went to visit this deity carver in South India that made exquisite Nrisimha deities. And on the train ride going there, Bhavananda had a dream of a form of Nrisimhadev in his dream. And so he shared that with Jnanivas, and they told the Murti maker, can you make one like this? So he's in the process of making a deity of Lord Nrisimhadev, you know, big. Then somewhere else in South India, there was an envious man that came to know that ISKCON is having this, you know, superlative carver make a deity of Lord Nrisimhadev. So he made a direct travel to the Murti maker and said, I'll pay you twice as much as they offered you. You know, let me have that Murti. And he said, I that's dishonest. I can't do that. So, but you can know the form that they wanted is Ugra Nrisimha. And if you even make any mistake with worshiping Ugra Nrisimha, you're finished. He said, great. Keep making the Murti. And so when the Murti was done, the devotees were informed. They went to make arrangements to transport the Murti. The Murti maker told them what happened. This man came and said these things, and I told him these things, and he was really happy because you're going to be destroyed. But what I didn't tell him, I'll tell you. And that is the form of Nrisimha. When there's a primary deity other than Nrisimha, he takes on the mood of that primary deity. So you're safe. I didn't tell him that. So Ugra Nrisimha looks, and he takes on the mood of Radha Madhava and the Panchatattva. So back again, there's some ISKCON devotees that have a particular liking for the form of Lord Nrisimhadev, or the form and the pastimes of different forms of the Lord. In Rati's home, you know Rati, he has a deity of Lord Varaha. And there's a reason, you know, etc. He desired and he worships Lord Varaha. And etc., etc. So different devotees have, but the primary place of shelter is Krishna. So there's some particular features of this form of the Lord, that form of the Lord. But when, because of Srimad Bhagavatam and our disciplic succession, then, you know, they're just aspects and features of Krishna. So no problem. No problem. But then it becomes very important, like this discussion we had yesterday. Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. And some people, you know, didn't grow up learning that. Most of us. There's some other idea of whatever we had as our idea. But the Srimad Bhagavatam makes it very clear. Both that Paribhasa Sutra and then all the rest of the Bhagavatam is very, very clear. Like it's right here being said over and over again. And so there's vibhutis, but Krishna doesn't, there's features of him. He doesn't have to remove a covering of himself and then manifest a vibhuti. So it's just every he's the source of everything. Everything. Said negatively. There isn't anything that exists that he's not the source of. He's the source of everything. And so one can appreciate this and that. It's not to say we worship the Himalayas. We recognize the Himalayas are one of his vibhutis. Fantastic. You know, there's other. We worship Tulsi Devi because she's the giver of bhakti. We want bhakti, so we worship Tulsi Devi, and Krishna likes Tulsi. He likes everything, and he particularly likes Tulsi. That's fine. So we offer Tulsi because he likes. And he's satisfied when he receives offerings with Tulsi, and without Tulsi, it's not the same. So there's siddhanta, there's teachings behind how we live our lives. And how we do what we do, how we make our offerings, like there was some discussion yesterday about how to make offerings. We make offerings the way that Krishna likes, because we want to do what Krishna likes. And there may be other ways to make offerings, that's fine. We do the way Krishna likes. So that's our life, that's our conviction, that's our lifestyle. And Krishna may like something else, that's okay too. We like this, so we do this. Or he likes this, so we do this. And that's our life. We do the things that we do. We eat, but we eat foods that are first offered to Krishna. And there's a procedure, and we follow the procedure and because Krishna likes. It can be simplified. That's fine, too. And we follow instructions of our acharyas in disciplic succession, how to do when. What's the simplified version? And then there's an elaborate version, and somewhere in between simple and elaborate. But we accept descending knowledge and take it into our heart and live accordingly and continue hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting the holy name and become attracted to our eternal life, or remembering what we've forgotten. So, 8:35. Any comments or questions? Yes. Nice to see you.
Thank you so much.
Your health is okay? Here's a microphone. That's for the people online.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you so much. It's amazing. Like, we are watching Mahabharata right now. She almost so much obsessed. This new Mahabharata movie.
Okay.
And I think somewhere there it is also said that when like Kali Yuga started.
When what?
Between yugas, it's also some partial destruction.
Okay.
Happens. So like, I don't remember hearing that before. So is it happening like after every yuga, partial destruction? Does it happen?
Well, after every manu, there's a partial destruction. So what to speak of between manus, between yuga cycles, that there's an end of a manu also. Now, I've heard what you said, and I don't know the detail, but I can research it and see if I can, what I can come up with.
Thank you.
Okay?
Thank you so much.
And some of our learned persons online, if you want to do some research too, you come up with something, send it to me so we can discuss it tomorrow morning.
Guru Maharaj, online questions.
Yeah.
First, Rati Prabhu texted that it is Lakshmi Hayagriva.
Lakshmi Hayagriva, okay. Hayagriva. So you can send me a little message to say, why Hayagriva? What's the mood behind the Hayagriva? Hayagriva, okay. I thought it was Varaha, okay.
Question from Srinath Prabhu. Example of Nitya Siddha devotee is Prahlad Maharaj. Sadhana Siddha could be Lord Brahma and Kripa Siddha or Jagai Madai. My question is, where does conditioned souls like Indra fit in, who had committed great offenses against the Supreme Lord and his devotees? Is Indra Sadhana Siddha or
Kripa Siddha? He's not Siddha. He's a Devata. Next.
question from Sri Radhika Mataji. Lord Indra is praying for freedom from punishment, while Lord Brahma's mood is acceptance of the repercussions.
Yes.
Will you please elaborate on what is the difference in mercy received when there is such a distinction in consciousness? And since we can only begin from where we are, is there an organic way to grow from wanting freedom from punishment to acceptance of repercussions?
Well, the second part is, you know, the basis of Krishna consciousness and understanding what Krishna consciousness means. So prior to the mature stage of Krishna consciousness, we want. And we pray for things we want. And the mature stage of Krishna consciousness, whatever the Lord wants. You know, there may be somewhere in between there, like, I got my finger on the pan scale and I'm hoping it goes over there. But it's the maturity of, or purity of consciousness that says whatever you want. So Prahlad has that. We made this reference. Prithu Maharaj speaks like that. Vishnu comes at his coronation. He says, you're the father. The father knows what's best for the son. Whatever you want, I accept. Similar to what Prahlad's position is. So, what, you know, the distinction between destination is Krishna can easily reward what you want. He may or may not, but he can easily award. And those who do not have a want means they have another want. That is just that connection with Krishna. And then Krishna gives himself to that person. That's the difference of destination or outcome.
Question from Ramasharana Prabhu. All things will destroy during physical devastation except famous mountains such as Meru and others. Is it Govardhan is one of them that will not be destroyed?
Well, the whole of Vrindavan is not destroyed. So what to speak of Govardhan?
Yeah, from Sri Radhika Mataji, a comment and then another question.
Another question, okay.
The comment is, we are also feeling very fortunate at a time when many are going through depression and anxiety due to isolation. We are feeling even more energized than under normalcy because you are taking us to Vrindavan every morning and evening, whether we get to physically go there or not during Kartik.
Okay. Well, this evening we're going to Vaikuntha. But we're going to get to Vrindavan, don't worry.
Another question. How do we understand the field of psychology?
Do we understand what?
The field of psychology.
The field of psychology.
As it exists in the world today.
It's speculation. That's how we understand it.
Is it a study of the material mind and conditioned psychophysical nature?
No, it's just speculation. It's all over the place. Next question. I mean, they have there's threads of something that connect with reality, but It's all speculation, other than the threads that are there, and they don't know where the threads lead to or anything.
Okay. Question from Gaur Sundar Prabhu. Regarding worship of Govardhan as Haridas Varya and worship of Tulsi Devi, we closed the altar while worshipping Tulsi Devi, but Krishna was present while Govardhan was being worshipped. Why don't we worship Tulsi Devi with altar open?
He's already answered the question, and within his question, we don't worship others before Krishna. Now, Prabhupada made an exception for himself to instruct his disciples, but that exception was his acharya decision, but otherwise we don't, before Krishna, worship others. Even Tulsi, that was the training that we received.
A question from Vishalaksha Prabhu. Gaudiya Vaishnavas desire to worship 200 form of Lord Krishna, but there are countless forms of Lord Krishna. So advised to worship 200 Lord Krishna only, or his expansions?
We already touched on that. See the expansions as coming from their source, and that is fine.
That's it.
Okay. Anyone, anything? We're done. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.